And welcome to the Taylor Report again. And that was Lee Morgan, and it was Sidewinder. And as you remember, we were speaking with Ann Garrison, KPFA Berkeley, and also commentator on matters to do with the Great Lakes region of Africa, which very much interests this program. You will probably know, remember, that we spoke to David Himbara, who writes about this. By the way, there's a name to note and to look up, because it's easy to keep informed now in the internet age if you know the names to research so that you can be well informed. I can't promise you the mainstream media will do it for you, but if you know the name David Himbara, you will learn something. I think we're joined now by Major Robert Hijiro. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. You have a site, democracyinrwandanow.org. You came to the world's attention because you were the subject of an article in the Globe and Mail by Jeffrey York and Judy Raver. They were looking into investigating the issue of assassinations carried out by the functionaries or people serving the Rwandan government, and there have been a number of people killed. You were interviewed for that because you had some knowledge of it, and you also testified before a United States congressional hearing. And I'll tell our listeners, they can go to the name Robert Hijiro, and they will find the testimony of given there in Washington. I want to congratulate you. I think you're very brave, by the way, that you have spoken out. Today, as we talk, my understanding is the president of Rwanda, Paul Kagame, is being hosted at Harvard University. And I think a lot of people scratch their heads and want to know why this individual, who's basically a strong man, doesn't seem to have much of a democracy, is being welcomed. What is your reaction when you see him coming to speak at Harvard? What would you like to tell the people at Harvard that they should know about him?
First of all, thank you very much for having me on your show. I think you have given a little bit of my background. And to your question, you see, our country has been under dictatorship for a very long time. And the current dictatorship is being concealed by the same man, President Paul Kagame, especially from the donor countries and the international community. And the reason being, he wants to, sell this positive, good image of himself as an extraordinary leader, and then the success of his country, Rwanda, which is, all an illusion. The reason why Kagame is being hosted by Harvard or any other places that he's going to is because he has managed through his lobbyist firms to actually paint a better picture, which is not the truth on what's going on in the country. For example, the country lacks democracy. There is the absence of democracy. There is this illusion of economic success. Mm-hmm. But even before that, the kind of corruption that we see in Rwanda today, which is at the top. That's the difference between Kagame's corruption and other kinds of corruption we find in the African continent. Mm-hmm. It's that the corruption is at the top. Mm-hmm. And then he manages the project. The investors will go through him, and then he manages the corresponding ministries to actually take care of the investors. But after the investors have paid Kagame, and then that leads to, fabricating statistics that he gives the World Bank, he gives the IMF, mm-hmm. Donor countries. We saw recent reports of the country's report in 2014 to the World Bank, which was actually rejected by the World Bank, mm-hmm. because it was falsified. the statistics are doctored. Mm-hmm. Whether it's whether we talk about health statistics, whether we talk about the GDP, whether we talk about human rights conditions in the country, it's all false. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason is, we want to say, and why is Kagame doing this? You know,
mm-hmm.
what is important to understand is that Kagame wants to keep power. He wants to stay in power forever. Mm-hmm. And so he needs resources.
Mm-hmm.
And Rwanda is a poor country. So there's no way he can do without foreign aid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he always makes sure he keeps the image mm-hmm. of a clean country, clean streets, clean capital.
Yes.
You know, compared to other African capitals.
Mm-hmm.
All businesses in Rwanda belong to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he controls everything.
Mm-hmm.
In the RPF, the party that is in power today, his own party, takes care of the businesses. They have a company called Crystal Ventures, which takes care of all the businesses in the country. And recently, actually, there are reports saying that they control up to around 90% of the businesses and investments in the country. Now,
it's a family business.
Yeah.
A wholly owned family business.
Exactly. Now, this comes to why we have human rights abuses in the country. They are all connected to power,
mm-hmm.
right? Yes, because they are trying to conceal the kind of corruption that is in the country. They are trying to conceal where the money is diverted that donors are giving them. And whoever comes across this information is either disappears or killed or imprisoned, or they end up in exile. Now, if Kagame doesn't succeed in convincing the international community and the donors that their money is being used where it is supposed to be used, then the aid may be stopped. And if the aid stops, then the economy will collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And if it collapses, which is even if he falsifies these statistics, of course the economy is falling apart, then he won't be able to keep power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people get hungry, like it's happening right now in Rwanda, when poverty is at the top,
yes.
then what happens?
Mm-hmm.
That's the source of civil wars, when people become hungry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So these are details that Kagame has been able to conceal for a very long time using his lobbyist firms, and that's why he has strong friends in universities like Harvard who will forego all these details and invite him to talk about democracy that is not even there in the country he comes from.
Yes, and we'll get your comment on the demonstration of the lack of democracy. We have two outstanding cases. Earlier in the show, I was speaking to Ann Garrison, a journalist in Berkeley, about Miss Ingabire, who's been in prison since 2007 simply because she wanted to be run for office in Rwanda. And then we have today's news of a woman, Violette Wamahoro, who she's been disappeared because she's a British citizen, went to visit her husband. She went there because of a family funeral. And she's she was taken off the street. Your heart must go out to them. What do you say about those cases?
Now, the cases, of course, the lady you're talking about went actually for her father's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And she was arrested because her husband happens to be in working with an opposition party, the Rwanda National Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for her, she's completely innocent. She's not even involved in politics. But I was reading reports today from the police. They're actually charging her, you know, of crimes that she has no idea about. If she knew she's involved with the opposition party or involved in politics, she wouldn't have gone to Kigali.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody knows that. We all don't go to Kigali because we are not in the RPF, right?
Mm-hmm.
So look at Ingabire, she has been in prison for a long time now, and I bet they will never release her anyway. Even if she served her years, because Kagame is going to still be there. I remember he changed, he amended the constitution to stay in power for another 17 years. Mm-hmm. So it's absurd. It's absurd that we have a government which is treating its own people that way. We have a government which can't stand opposition parties. We have a government that is killing its own people. And I think even the lady we're talking about is lucky just because she has a second citizenship of the UK. And that's why they even mentioned that they have her. Otherwise, we have very many cases of people who disappear and they don't even talk about them. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of them. She's lucky they said they have her for these crimes. They're going to keep her probably in the prison for as long as they want. Yeah. Remember, the branches of government don't function at all. Kagame is, the executive, he's the judiciary, he's the parliament. Mm-hmm. So the cases end in a way that Kagame wants them to end.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem to democracy mm-hmm. and human rights. And I think Rwandans have to stand up for this. And we have been trying so hard with your friend David Himbara to reach out to, and other Rwandans are trying so hard to reach out to these governments, the donor countries, especially Canada, the US, the UK, the European Union, mm-hmm. and even the African countries. Mm-hmm. The other point I wanted to make is look at what is going on in the region.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about that, the Burundi issue and Congo. Please, go
yes.
ahead.
Yes, I've been in the military. I served with the Rwanda forces for about 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I think I am in position to talk about our own region. Look at what happened since 1996, when Rwandan forces invaded the DRC.
Mm-hmm.
Since that time to date, it has been chaos.
Yeah. By the way, just a detail, they at the time denied they'd done it. Now they do talk openly that they did invade, but I recall in 1996 they claimed they weren't there. So,
of course.
Go ahead.
Course. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When it started, it was about the Rwandan Congolese in the DRC. Mm-hmm. That's Banyamulenge and the Bagogo and Jomba, to, them trying to fight for their own freedom. But most of them ended up either coming back to Rwanda, or some of them were arrested by Kagame. Examples are Ngunda and Naganda, who is in The Hague. So, by the way, all these were RPA soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
They were not Congolese.
Yes.
I was shocked Naganda actually couldn't come clean and say, I'm a Rwandan, because he was born in Rwenzori, which is Rwanda, and he was Rwanda Defense Forces member, not in the DRC, or saying he was born in the DRC. So, but anyway, the point is, since 1996, it has been chaos in the DRC. We have many different groups, armed groups in the DRC, which have destabilized the eastern part of the DRC for a very long time. And all this Kagame was doing in the name of, getting minerals, because he needs money to support his government. Mm-hmm. Then he had a hand in that, 100%. Look at what he just did in Burundi. He managed to get a group of generals from the Burundian army. They staged a coup, it failed, and then he took them back. Oh, these generals are in Rwanda. These are people we have contact mm-hmm. through other intermediaries. That's for sure. He created a rebel group.
He's hosting people who are leading armed groups. They're sitting there in his capital with him, aren't they?
Yes, they are. We have evidence of that, and we have shared it with these countries. They know about it. But of course, Kagame is running his, aerobics machines are trying to paint a worse picture to the Burundian government instead of Kagame. But you remember that recently the Refugee International did actually interview some of these Burundian refugees who were recruited into the Burundian rebels that Kagame is training himself. I mean, his forces are training. Mm-hmm. So it's not, and you can see Kagame has been targeting different officials in Burundi, killing them because they wanted to cause chaos and eventually maybe genocide. They have been singing genocide that's going to happen in Burundi for a very long time, and it hasn't happened up to now because I think the president of Burundi and his government were aware of this project, and they are trying to handle it. And I think they did, and Kagame is failing in one or the other. Mm. And then you remember, I don't know if you heard about it, when President Kikwete was still the sitting president of Tanzania. Kagame promised to hit him when time comes.
Yes.
That's another neighboring country. Kagame has been involved in funding people like Kizza Besigye in Uganda. That's another neighboring country. Money was intercepted, actually, going to
He's talking about the head of state of a neighboring country as if he wants to have a fist fight with him.
Yes.
Really extraordinary. So, by the way, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. He seems a little, one hesitates to say unstable, but he gave a talk recently in which he told his leadership group, I guess family and friends, but he actually talked as though the Rwanda was a failure. In this meeting, which the world heard about it, he told them things that he's not going to be telling Harvard today. How do you explain that odd behavior?
Now, he has been getting backlash from Rwandans inside the country because I can assure you the Rwandans are very hungry. There's famine in the eastern province of the country. The ordinary Rwandans, this is not political, are running neighboring countries, especially Uganda and Tanzania, for food, not for anything else, just for food. Mm-hmm. It was before that talk you're talking about, he visited one of the districts in eastern province, Nyagatare, and you know the population wanted to talk to him about how hungry they are, and he wanted actually to refer them to the minister of local government, and they said no because he has, he came up with this idea that he's the only Rwandan who can actually solve their problem, and he always blames these local leaders, he blames his ministers for everything that has failed, and look at him in this retreat. He comes and he talks about how people go out, his ambassadors, they go out lying that everything is okay in Rwanda, while actually some Rwandans are afraid of not moving from one destination to another peacefully. So he's losing it. But the problem is he has a lot of pressure economically. He has a lot of pressure in investment. Mm-hmm. He got a loan of $400 million. And he constructed this conventional center, which is 5,000 capacity. But now we are told that all the rooms are empty. And the halls that are in there, which are supposed to be rented and all that, they are all empty. Nobody is using it. So
that's a shock.
How does even, exactly. The hotels in Rwanda, some of them are being returned to the banks because their private owners can't actually pay back the loan. And the problem is, like we said before, the RPF controls all businesses. So the small number of tourists who go in Rwanda are guided by the RPF to use their own hotels. That is Kagame's hotels and the Crystal Ventures. And so the ordinary citizen investor will not get guests to use his hotel. And it's all chaos.
That is a worrying development for him. Of course, it's awful for the people of Rwanda. This is Major Robert Ejiro. The site is democracyinrwandanow.org. And just in the last minutes here, I want to ask you or say to you, I noticed that General Yamwasa, who was wounded, several attempts have been made on his life. He lives in South Africa now, former commander of the Rwandan army. He said his problems began when he didn't agree with the illegal removal of President Bizimungu in 2002 is rather significant. My impression is he doesn't seem to be afraid of having a democracy where all demographics, Tutsi, Hutu, and Twa, participate in free elections. Is that your position?
Well, Kagame doesn't really care about Kagame behaves as if he's a visitor in the country, like he doesn't understand what's going on. He has he has amnesia because he has forgotten why the Tutsis were in exile. For, you know, a person like me, I was born a refugee.
We were refugees
in Uganda for over 30 years. Mm. And the reason why we came in fighting, because maybe the previous government of Habyarimana probably failed to take in back those refugees. And now Kagame has caused more refugees, just like we are refugees in Uganda before, or Burundi, wherever people were refugees. And he doesn't understand that it can't work, because it didn't work for the first government, and even now it won't work for him. It's a matter of time before people, you know, say enough is enough, and it's happening. Mm-hmm. So we had a Hutu president who was RPF, and they had public, you know, cases on him, and he had to resign. He was supposed to resign. And now he's living in a shocking situation as a former president. He's apparently sick, and they can't even release him to go and have, you know, medical treatment in abroad like they usually do. Kagame is flying in and out. His kids are all over U.S. and other countries. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't care about other people who need actual medical attention, who were leaders before. So what we are trying to say here is to the Rwandan and international community, we need to talk. Mm-hmm. We need to talk about these challenges, but we need to look forward. We need to see the future, focus on the future. What happened has happened. The genocide happened. The Hutu massacres were conducted by the RPF forces. That is known. You can't deny that. Mm-hmm. And we need a platform to look into that. There is no way we are going to have a platform to look into what will happen in the genocide, what will happen with the Hutu massacres. The UN expert report, mapping report, if you read it, they came up with accounts of killings that happened in the DRC of the Rwandan Hutus and actually Congolese in the DRC. But that report mm-hmm. was suppressed by the UN administration, you know. So we need to know that there's nothing we can do if we don't come together, if we don't convince the international community that, look here, things are going south. We need to sit down and sober up and stop finger pointing and stop, you know, this business of who came from where. This is all, it all comes to help Kagame and the RPF, not the Rwandans.
Yes.
Because the division is a long-term tool of all these dictators. They divide and rule. So we should stop looking at ourselves from where we came from our tribe, and come together and, you know, build something that is going to give us justice for everybody.
Thank you. I think Major Robert Hijiro, you've stated it very, very clearly, and we very much appreciate it. democracyinrwandanow.org, and we hope to talk to you again in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. And that was Major Hijiro, and you've been listening to Taylor Report, CIUT Charlotte. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.